Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
I was just going to mention, I don't know if you guys knew, but I think we said it before, but at 9 o'clock, we have a prayer time in my office. And by the way, you guys are all invited to come by at 9 o'clock, 9 to 9:30. And we just have a time of prayer, just the time to see what God's saying to us during a half hour. He's got a lot to say. But anyway, this morning, the reason I'm even mentioning that is that the word was joy. The word was strength. So as we prayed, we just felt that, you know, for those of us that were in that group, that it should just be something that should be contagious. You know, we should be happy and glad and joyful that we have the Spirit of the living God within us. And that should be contagious to it. Everywhere we go, when we step into a place, regardless if it doesn't look like it's a spiritual place that agrees with us, but we should change that atmosphere because of who lives within us. And so I hope that when you leave this place today through the word, through the worship, whatever it is, that you know and you just be that person that is just going to just radiate the presence of Jesus. We're not to be quiet. We are not to be off in a corner somewhere. My gosh, we have the Holy Spirit within us. Yes. Can we go out there and just show the world that we're a little bit different, or maybe a lot of bit different? So I pray that this morning, you know, when we get to pray, that we would just receive that and then give it out. So if you guys would please stand with me and we'll pray. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, this is your dwelling place, Lord, within us. It's not about this building, Lord. Even though we're all together, Lord, of one mind and one heart, that, Lord, that you have each one of us, you have designated people that we will meet this day, Lord. Places that we will go this day, Lord, and that they are going to see that there is something different about us. The world has got to see you, Lord, and they only see you through each one of us. So, Lord, I pray that we would have the boldness, and just, Lord, we don't have to try. We don't have to make anything like, I'm going to go in there and show them who God is with me. It should just be a part of who we are. Just be you. Be who God created you to be when you speak to your families. And so, Lord, we thank you that we are that vessel, Lord, that you have placed on this earth. And that, Lord, you love us so much that you will not leave us where we are. We pray this in Jesus' name.
And here I am saying I look rough, and then my wife comes up. She's all put together and everything. Yeah. All right, so we had a really good time, an excellent time. Do you want to start it off? Huh? Yeah? What? Oh, me? Okay. So here are the children's we took. We're missing one, just one. But, yeah, I mean, we had a really great time. I think some hearts were changed. You probably hear a little bit about that. Some callings were given, I guess, right? Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's this time where it's so exciting to see. It's like, imagine you go to a church and you see everybody waiting outside, right? Just stacked up at the doors. You open up the doors and everybody's like, ah, running in. Pushing each other down, trampling. No, but so, well, it did kind of happen with one person. They were a little excited. So not our people. We know how to throw bows, you know, but I mean, they were so excited to just get into that church, to actually not only get into that church, but get to the front, right? I mean, look at this right here, okay? How many people are excited to be sitting in this front row, okay? All right, but at youth convention, everybody just poured forward. They wanted to be in the front, right? They were actually asking me ahead of time, how much longer we got? How much longer we got? When are the doors open? Let's go. You know, they wanted to be up there. They wanted to be in there. And it wasn't just the worship, but it was the people who actually were speaking that they wanted to hear. And I saw notes being taken, like pages of notes. All right. So I want to say thank you to everybody who gave. Because just like I was talking about before, you know, everybody you see baptized, all that. The change, the closeness to God that came out as a result was thanks to your donations. And you want to say any more about that? Yeah.
Before I say everything.
Okay, yeah. So first of all, we just want to say thank you guys so much because you guys got us youth convention. You guys got us very nice hotel rooms, right? So nice. And a very nice vehicle so we could all ride together. And you fed us. So thank you all for your donations. Yeah. I think we actually have, I mean, I have the receipts, but we'll add it up. But I think we actually came out ahead because you guys are so generous. So we're holding on to that because we'll, in the summertime, we'll be going to youth camp. So that's the next big thing we'll be starting our fundraising for. So I'm going to pass the mic. I told them to share whatever you got from youth convention, what stood out to you. You know, so I just want them to share, and then I'm going to close it out because I want to see what they say first.
Hello? Okay. I want to thank you. Oh, I'm Abby. I want to thank you all because we wouldn't be there if it wasn't for your donations, and it was very fun, actually. And it wouldn't have been like that without y'all. But there was one guy, he was talking about like pulling fire alarms. And he said, if there's a house on fire, you would go in there and, or a building, and you would pull a fire alarm and you wouldn't think about what people would say or what your followers would say or anything like that. And then he gave a story and it was, he had this one, no, he was very lonely. And then there was this kid, he had all like friends and he was like very popular for the school. And he said one day the popular kid came up to his house and asked if he wanted to hang out. And he said yes. And then that night he saw him at the mall and he thought about asking him to church. His church that he goes to. And then that night, he went to a party with his friends and got a little wasted. And then he went, got on a boat in the ocean. And then his boat tipped over. And instead of swimming to the shore, he swam out to the ocean and drowned. And he regretted not asking him to church that day. And he used that as an example of, like, pulling fire alarms. So, yeah.
Hi, I'm Lonnie. So, yeah, thank you guys all for every donation that everybody gave, for everything. Like, it was the best experience going to youth group. Something that stood out to me was kind of what Abby had said about how pulling fire alarms and everything. Like, so to say like that you have to be out there to be able to know God and to let just everybody know God. So for one of the like things that happened that really like made me feel like how much I can know God better was that the pastor on kind of the last day, the first part of the last day, he had called he had told people to come up if they felt like they needed to go out in the world and tell people about God, if that was what God was calling to them. And he also said if God was calling out to you for a pastor, for you to be a worship leader, youth leaders and stuff like that. Well, me and Abby were called to be pastors. And Micaiah, so after that, before we went to go, like, leave to come back down, Micaiah had told us a story about how she had a dream, but their dad had the same dream and my mom had the same dream. And it was about the movie theater over here by, like, Taco Bell, that was a church. And they had that dream a while ago. And since me and Abby were called to be pastors, they thought that maybe it was meant that me and Abby would be pastors of that church. And they would be, like, youth leaders and everything else. And that is just what really stood out to me. Like, and I took a lot of notes. I have, like, 3 pages of notes. And it was just, like, this convention was, like, the best convention I've been to. Because I've been to one before, but I wasn't necessarily in the group. My grandparents took me. I had thought that that was really, really good. This time, it was, like, really good. Like, everything was so awesome. And one thing Abby didn't tell you was that she gave her heart to God when she was at youth convention. And that was a big moment for her. We can all say that we were really nervous the first day, honestly. Everyone was pushing just to get to the front to listen to the worship and everything. And it was just awesome. Like, everyone pushing through. At first, I didn't want to go up there. I was so nervous to go up there. But then the end of the day, they had done another set of worship. And when they had did that, I felt like I could just feel God's presence there. Like, it was awesome. Like, you could tell it got to Abby. Like, you could just feel him there. And it was awesome because the songs were just really, really good. And, like, all the kids there, like, they put up their hands and they just praised. They didn't care about anything else. They just praised and praised and praised. Like, people got down on their knees and praised. And I know that Abby felt the Holy Ghost because she started crying during, like, worship. But she was over here thinking she was going to lose her voice because she was like, yeah, hallelujah, yeah. Like, she was just over here, like, screaming, like, loving it. We all enjoyed it. Like, it was just the best experience. And they made it as fun as possible. And they did an awesome job. So I loved youth convention.
Hi, I'm Davin, and I liked how everyone actually wanted to worship and get to the front on, like, just staying in their chairs, but I learned a lot. I liked listening to the pastor. I think his name was Micah Mack. He was saying some good stuff, and I liked it, and I just like youth convention. I learned a lot of new things. So.
Hi, my name's Josh. And one thing that stuck out to me was during the last service, the pastor, Micah Mack, he was saying something about attitude and how it's not circumstantial. And I'm not exactly sure what he said, but I do remember what it made me think of. It's kind of like a book. Like, there's past, present, and future in it. And you can see it right here. You can go to the middle. You can go to the end. And it's not withheld by time. It's not, what's the word? It's not, yeah, withheld, I guess, is the best word I can think of. But that's a realization I've come to recently, that if we're too busy looking to the future or to the past or clinging on to the past, it inhibits our ability to operate in the present. So I think that's really helped me just recently, just living my life. And so, yeah.
My name's Zach, and I just really enjoyed it. It, like, helped me to just get out there and have fun and learn. And I wasn't the only one. I was, like, everyone there was just having a good time and wasn't afraid to praise God. And it just was just a good time for all of us. And, yeah, and they had some good words, and if God makes a promise, then he will keep that promise. He won't go, like, don't be afraid to do what you need to do to fulfill the promise. And if there's a giant in your way, then don't be afraid to just get through the giant to get to the promise that he's promised you. And, yeah, that's it.
Hey, I forgot to show you guys this, but look at that adorable group. Okay, this part's adorable. I guess I'm adorable. And then rugged, handsome young men, okay? Yeah, because you don't want to be called adorable. Maybe, I don't know. Here.
We will have a video for you guys next week because we took a lot of pictures, lots of videos to kind of give you just a glimpse of the experience. But we'll have that for you next week because we did get home late and we're exhausted. Like, we hardly got any sleep. So can we just give it up for these kids for showing up today? So one thing that they mentioned, you know, I had told you guys before last week when we were asking for the donations, my favorite part about Youth Convention is just seeing the hunger and the freedom of the kids. Like they said, like, the doors are closed to get into the sanctuary until 15 minutes before they start. There are a huge group of kids outside those doors and they're chanting, "Let us in, let us in." Like, they're ready to go. And when those doors open, like, you just kind of have to stand still and let them go. Like, because you're going to get trampled. But I did get a video of it, but it's just so crazy. And then as soon as they start, like, they have like a countdown, and like the last 10 seconds, the kids just run to the front. They just run. They're up there. They are ready to go. And it's so awesome. I love that part. And I told them, because some of them haven't been before, you guys, this is what's happening. Because the first time I went with the kids and that happened, I was like, "Where are you going? Where are you going?" You know? So I told them, "This is going to happen. So if you guys want to go, go. Like, we'll be right here. We got your seats, you know, just go." And so I love that part about it. But I wanted to explain, like, they're talking about the fire alarms. And so what he was talking about is like going out and telling people about God, because like she said, if there's a burning building, you wouldn't hesitate to go in and get the fire alarm and get those people out and save them, right? Like, it should be the same in our lives now. Like, we shouldn't be ashamed or afraid to pull the fire alarm to tell your friends, especially, and your family about God, because, you know, we all want them to go to heaven with us, right? So, and Abby did give her heart to the Lord, so I'm so excited about that. Like, I was tearing up, but one of the things they said a lot at youth convention is, hell lost another one. Right? Hell lost another one. So, and I wanted to share too, that first is Micah Mack, but he got up there, man, he was like less than 10 minutes. And he shared this story, and it was a modern day version, but he was talking about the woman at the well. But anyways, the end of that story, he did an altar call, and 240 kids gave their life to the Lord. Okay, 240 kids that first night within the first 10 minutes of youth convention. And another thing they also did was they do something called Speed the Light. So they raised money for, this year it was for Botswana. Botswana for Jesus is what they called it. But they're building a church there in Botswana, and they showed they have like the steel beam frame and a tin roof. That's all they have so far. But they're raising money for that. And they're also building wells, you know, around Africa. These kids raised $60,000. $60,780. Yeah, there was some change, but yeah.
36 cents is what I can remember.
There's less than 1,000 kids there. So I'll... yeah, that was another theme through youth convention was Terry Parkman was the other speaker, and he was talking about this generation specifically. He was talking about revival, and he said it's not going to be what you've seen before. These kids are doing it a different way, and it's going to be like nothing you've ever seen before. So when these two said they had a calling on their life to be a pastor, I'm like, come on, you know, and it's the girls too, because, you know, girl power. But so I did share with the kids about the dream that I had and their mom had and their dad had, and about this movie theater being a church one day. And so when I had heard that these other two people had this dream, I'm like, yes, okay. You know, because we dream, you know, sometimes, you know, it's just a dream. But when other people have the same dream, you know, it's going to happen, you know. And then, but I will tell you one thing that maybe a year, maybe two after that, God showed me that church is going to be for the youth. So get ready, because, yeah, these girls are going to be pastoring a youth church down here. So I'm so excited for that. So thank you, guys. Do you have anything to add? Okay.
So this is, like, I'm just not going to talk. I just wanted to say thank you, McKay and Abe, for taking us up there and letting us have an amazing time. And I just know that this trip changed my life forever, and I just am very glad that you guys took me. And thank you to everyone again for all the donations you made, and it was just really life-changing. Thank you.
Okay.
Hold on. Stay there.
Oh, no.
Say what you're going to say, but I know they were going
to run down. Oh, no, not. I got to wait.
Yeah, praise God. Wait. Hey, praise God. I love youth convention. How many say amen? I mean, well worth whatever it takes us to get the kids to the youth convention. It's so worth it. So rewarding to see that God is moving in the lives of our young people. How many say amen? Come on. And so I want everybody just stand and put your hands toward these folks and toward these young people, man. I believe that calling does come through. You know what? I do know that kids, they got all the money. How many know the kids got all the money? Amen. Come on, mom, dad. Yeah. Hey, guess what? I need some money. Yeah. $60,000, $780 and some change. Is that right? Yeah, man, that's a lot of money. How many say amen to that? And so you know what? God is able to do far abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so with our young people, God is doing a work that I do believe, just like Micaiah said, I believe that they are going to do things like we've never seen before because they're being led by the Spirit of God. How many say amen? Amen. So we're going to, let's just put our hands toward and we're going to pray for them. Abe and Micaiah, we pray for you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for our youth pastors, Lord, for strengthening them and taking them through what you just took them through, God. God, we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor, Father. We know that your blessings are upon them. And Lord, for these young people, Father God, Lord, that you would continually speak into their lives, Father God. Father, I pray that this weekend, as they've said, would be a difference, would create this, if you will, Father, a shield over them that they remember what was said, that everything that they heard, Father, would be taken within, and they would, Father God, live off of that, Father, that you would quicken them to live off of some of those things, Lord, and in order to quicken them in other things, Father. We thank you for it. We thank you for the working of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you do. We give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. Father, let the youth of America bust out in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let every student that went to the conventions held all over every state, Father, let all these young people, Lord, bust out, break out. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much for going. Hallelujah.
All right. So we got one. Oh, he's like, he's silencing me. I will not be silenced. All right, we got one more thing. If I say in a silly way, will it work? Like, board assemble. No? Yeah. Don't worry. I won't mute your mic, Steve. All right, so here you go. It's for you.
Good morning, church. We're going to ask our pastors to come up. Please, if you would, please. And I'm going to hand over the mic to Tommy.
Me, all right.
I love you.
Whoa.
I hope that wasn't me. Amen. Do you want me to pray or you want this talk? Or? Okay. Well, we're kind of doing this on the fly, so... this month is Pastor Appreciation Month, and so here's our pastoral staff, Pastor Henry and Rosie, and Pastor John and Stella, the things that they do for this fellowship and congregation is, there's too much to kind of talk about. But this place began with a dream. So dreams do come true, right? And it ain't over. So over the years, Pastor Henry and John, their wisdom that they have poured out and shared unintentionally has been just such a treasure to me and to many others. I think the uniqueness of this fellowship and these families to me has been that they're not just pastors. I wasn't ready. I don't know who that is, but hopefully it's not me. They're mom and dad. Fathers and mothers are standing up here. And I was wondering what I should say, you know, and one of the things that I have been, I guess, looking at over the years has been on your father and mother, because with that comes a blessing. It's the one commandment that comes with a blessing. And as a mentality, as a perspective, if we honor our fathers and mothers, a blessing will come. And I believe that the Lord over the years have been speaking things to this house specifically. And I think he's preparing the hearts of everyone here and the hearts of those that will come and the hearts of those that are ready to receive. And there's been a lot of question of, well, when, Lord, and how's that going to look? And I think we need to turn our perspective from when and how to honor your father and mother. And we bless them. And in return, we will see a blessing poured out. And this city and this valley is waiting for a blessing to be poured out. So I'm going to pray and see where this goes. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you because you're good above all things. Above all things, you are good, Father. And your kindness is what leads people to you, God. And it is the kindness of these fathers and mothers that stand before us here that have put in sweat and tears and sacrifice to bring us to a place that we are today, Father. So I pray a blessing over them. And I pray that as you bless us, Lord, we would bless them and we would bless this house and we would see the blessing of the King flow in this community, in this valley, Father, and the dreams that you have placed in our hearts and in our minds as we rest in your presence and in your pleasure, Father, I pray that we would live to see, Father, the dreams come to life, Father God. There's so much more, Father, that you have for this house and for us, Lord God, and for this community, Father, that everyone in the sound of my voice at this moment, Father, and even maybe listening later, has a part to play, Lord. But let it begin right here with us blessing our fathers and our mothers in this house, our leaders, Father God. Father, we honor you because we know that there is more, Father God. But Lord, just as it was prophesied on this deck here just moments ago, Lord, that we would not let the shame of the past or the fear of the future hinder us from the impact of what is happening right now in this moment, God. So, Father, be glorified. And Father, let your presence, Father, and your pleasure, I hear that, Father, right now in this place, Lord. Let your presence and the pleasure of the King be upon us, Lord God, this day. And as we move forward, Father God, we thank you, we praise you, we bless Henry and Rosie and John and Stella, Lord God. Let them continue to have the energy and the youthfulness, Father God, to do, Father, the things that you've called them to. And let your people be able to come behind them, Father, and lift up their arms, Father God, as they stand at the front of the forefront, Father God, of what you are doing, Father God. The battle is the Lord's, Lord God, and you have placed upon them, Father, a mantle of leadership and a mantle of your presence, Lord. I pray, Father, that we would encourage that and we would bless that and we would pray into that, Father, and we would allow the blessing to flow from the head down the beard, down, Father God, the mantle, all the way down, Father God, and to everyone that it touches, Father God, that every place that their foot treads, Lord God, that would become kingdom property, and that your kingdom, Father God, would come, and that your will, Father, would be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hi, I'm McKay's cousin. I do come to this church, but it's been a while since I've been, because every time I come, I break down. And I never get up here, even though I'm a theater arts major, not afraid. But I just had to share something. On the Holy Bible app, on my phone, even after I factory reset it, everything like that, this verse would still come up on my notifications. It was just really weird to me. And finally, after a few months, I was like, I'm going to see what that verse means. And it's Revelation 21:4. And it talks about, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And this spoke right to me at that moment, because it seems like my whole life I've just cried. I mean, my name means weary, but I am not. And I don't have to mourn anymore, nor cry. I don't have to be in pain anymore. With everything I'm doing in my life and letting go. And with that being said, another verse that I don't remember the moment that it spoke to me, but all three of these that I'm going to talk to you about, he's just, every time that I need to hear that specifically, he shows it on my app or something somehow, somewhere. And, sorry. I believe it's Matthew 6. So I have a lot of anxiety. I'm always anxious. I'm always hyper. I can never be still. Matthew 6 says, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself, sufficient for the day in its own trouble." I worry all the time. I worry, you know, when I wake up, what am I going to eat today? How am I going to eat? And seeing this, I don't have to worry. I don't have to be anxious anymore. What God wants me to do, he wants me to be still. And my cousin's been saying this to me for months. I mean, it just comes up everywhere in my life all the time. But the biggest verse that I've been trying to follow or just remind myself of day in and day out, because I don't know how to be still, is Psalm 46:10. "Be still and know that I am God. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still." So everything that's going on in my life, despite, you know, not knowing how I'm going to eat, or where, you know, not having a home, or now being sick and not knowing, you know, any of that, all of that together, I'm still praising him in this storm. And with all of that, he's showing me that I need to be even stiller. "You're not still enough, Leah. Keep going." So I just had to share that with you, because it is really, really profound for me. And I never get up here, and it's really nice to be back. And I just thank you guys all. I thank the Lord. He's so good. And I'm going to keep praising him in my storm. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I just said God is amazing. Is he not? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I was sharing earlier in our prayer time that the Lord has been having me focus on the cross and what was done for us, the blood that was shed by our Lord Jesus. It was shed not only for salvation. It was shed for situations such as this young woman, for her sorrows, for her anxiety, for her pain. He took it all. He took it all by the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. There is power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. It heals. It delivers. It saves. It does more than you can even imagine. So because he's been putting me into these situations here lately, I believe he provides. So he's been providing for me, and I believe that this word that he gave me this morning is not just for me, but it's for everyone here. So he gave me Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, and I'm going to read it to you. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that are mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. I believe he gives us all beauty for ashes and the oil of gladness. It's ours for the taking. When we're hurting, when we're mourning, he hurts and mourns with us. He's with us. He's with us through everything that we experience in life, that are our trials and tribulations. Jesus said that we would have trials and tribulations, but he said, take heart, for I have come to overcome the world. Take heart is what he's saying to you in your times of mourning. He is your healer. He is your healer. Praise God. Amen.
Good morning. I don't know if Pastor Henry's going to have time to preach today, so we might have to do it next week. And that's okay, huh?
That's okay. That's good.
Come on. Do you want to have her go first? Okay. Okay. So there's a theme going on this morning. I know the Holy Spirit is doing something, so that is the only reason why I'm up here, because a lot of times it's twisting my arm by this guy to come honor your father, right? So that, but gratitude. So I heard this song that my wife has been playing this past few weeks called Gratitude. And I was listening to it today, and there is a study I heard of that some college did. Anyway, when you have gratitude in your heart, you can't be anxious. So that girl that was talking right now, a lot of anxiety, fear of the future, again, shame of the past. These things grip our hearts and they take us away from the present of what God is doing just in our everyday life. So as I was thinking about that, and I was like, wow, that's really cool, you know, but then we come to church and these things begin to flow. And as, so as my son Josh was speaking this morning, there was a moment that I felt just like this heavy weight of the presence, just boom, like a sonic boom, I guess you could say, but it shook the atmosphere. And I forgot everything he actually said, but I could feel the presence of God. And there's a shaking. And the shaking is not just something that's happening right now, but it's fulfillment of a dream. And so dreams are important. And in order to dream, you have to sleep. In order to sleep, you have to rest. You have to be at peace. And the word talks about David singing a song about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures by the still waters. There is a interesting facet in that little message right there that David is explaining something that is not normal of the king, that we've been taught he's a gentleman, he doesn't make us do anything, and that is true. And yet in this passage, David says, he makes me lie down. So if the king, the shepherd, the good father, in this moment has changed in how he is being portrayed as being making me lie down, there must be something very important about that. It's not a bad thing, obviously, when he's making you lie down in green pastures near still waters with a shepherd that is protecting sheep who can't take care of themselves. But I believe that as even when Jesus came and began to teach and preach, he was very at peace, though there was opposition against him from the beginning. And there is something important that happens in dreams. There is, the Lord says, hey, I forget where it is. I'm sorry, because I can't go and validate what I'm talking about with a scripture verse, but that's okay. You know, you can look it up. It's there. But it says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard, nor has entered the heart of man the things that are to come, the things that I have for you. So with that scripture, you can actually go here to find it. If eye has not seen and ear has not heard. So he has something in reserve that he's waiting for the sons of God to rise up and do something different in the earth. And he says, hey, I got something different. I got something new. But I'm going to show you something that has never been seen before. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to tell you something that's never been heard before. And a lot of times he does that in dreams. So you have to be at peace. You have to be at rest. You have to be able to fulfill what he's saying. Hey, be anxious for nothing. Well, how do I do that? Have a gracious heart. Be thankful. Have gratitude. When you have very little, give. When you have a little bit to eat, thank God that you have something to eat. When you wake up, I think it's a basic thing that I've done in my life is I wake up in the morning and most days, as soon as I hit my feet, hit the floor, I want to think, oh, I don't want to go to work. Oh, you know, just this, I want to just lay back in bed. But then sometimes I have to make myself say, this is the day today that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad and go to work. And so there is sometimes where everything else doesn't want to, but I think David says this too. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. In that moment, his mind, his flesh, is actually encouraging his soul to bless the Lord because he's been taught and trained himself when he's out in the pastures, when things aren't going well for him, when he's fighting bears and lions and brothers are rejecting him and dad is saying, go over there and the worst job. He says every day and every night and every moment that he has, he's worshiping the Lord and he's blessing the Lord. And then there's those moments that he wakes up and he doesn't want to. And he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. He begins to dictate and he begins to take authority over his own soul. Even though he may not want to, he has put himself into a position in his lifestyle, life song, that was an awesome song. A lifestyle of worship trains you and equips you and puts you in a place where you begin to, even when you don't feel it, you tell yourself, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And blessings come from blessing the Lord, oh my soul. I believe there's a shift happening. We've been looking past it because, I'm taking all this time. We've been looking past certain things, and they're good things, okay? We have a vision in this church for souls. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. And I believe there's a shift happening, though, right now. What is that shift? The word says, ask. And I will give you the nations. That's a more excellent thing, right? Souls are a good thing. Nations is a more excellent thing. We're not in a position anymore. He's calling us away from right versus wrong, good versus bad. We know that. We know when we're doing something or going down a road that ain't right. We know that. We don't have to tell you. Hey, don't do that anymore. You know, the Holy Spirit in you teaches you. Judgment is in your own heart for yourself in everything that you do. And he's drawing you to a place that You don't need to be told about good and bad because you know it's in you. The Spirit of God will teach you. He does every day, every moment. He's now saying, let me take you and show you and open up the realm of more excellent way. That's all. That's the kingdom. We've been talking about the kingdom. There's been a lot of talk about that. We need to take that from church lingo to how we live our life and walk it. Lifestyle, life song. That it just flows from who you are, not what you do or didn't do. It's flowing from who you are. You're a son or a daughter of the king. You're royalty. And it's easy to say that, maybe. But like Jesus said, when he's there healing a man in front of the Sanhedrin and the priest, and he tells them, hey, your sins are forgiven, and they throw a fit. And so he says, well, is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or pick up your bed and walk and go to your house? But to prove to you, to show you that I am the Son of Man. And so he heals, but he forgives sins. And he has placed in us that same authority, that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. The mystery that the ages have been looking for and wondering about, even creation, not just people, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery. I've heard, again, Christian lingo, hey, well, whatever God's will is, that's what happens, right? We kind of are blown by the wind or the waves. And he says not to be blown by the winds and the waves. What does he do? He shows us, command them. He's sleeping in the boat, perfectly at peace. The disciples are freaking out. Wake him up. I can see Jesus because I feel the same way a lot of times. What do you want? I was resting. I finally got a moment to sleep. I've been preaching and teaching. We've been walking. I finally get to just rest, and you're waking me up for this? Really? Well, let me show you something. Peace. Did you see? You do it now. Can I go back to sleep? He's teaching us and showing us, and he has been teaching us and showing us, and we want to make things academic so we can go and explain them, right? Everything has to be explained. Sometimes he's saying, just do it. Just be who I called you to be. There will be a time where maybe academically or cerebrally we'll be able to understand some of these things. It's happened to me. It's happened as we've talked about things in the past and dreams and so forth. We talk about things. Hey, Pastor Henry, call me or something. We talk. Hey, what do you think about this? I'm like, oh my gosh. My spirit is alive and awake of what we're talking about right now, but I can't comprehend what we're talking about. But I know that that's the Holy Spirit. 10 years later, oh, I got it. Remember what we were talking about? And then we begin to talk about other things that got us from here to here. And in between, there was all this other very simple things that are sometimes hard to grasp. We can trust, walk in who God has called us to be, and allow him to teach us and show us as we go through these things. Not be so focused on the outcome of a later date of the shop, I call it, is that dream that we were talking about with the theater, the Sarita House of Prayer. If he says it's going to be done, like Zach said, if he gives you a promise, the promise will be fulfilled. We like to put timelines and all these other and how we think it's going to look. And he's saying, hey, do not be restricted by your own understanding and what you've seen before and what you know before. Sometimes you may have to walk through some hard moments to get to where you're going, but don't let the excitement of the ending even restrict the moment that you're in right now and the first step towards that, and enjoy the process or the journey or the moment. Don't lose the moment. Don't lose the moment. I think I have like some baseball references, but I'm gonna hold off on that. But kind of circling back, gratitude. Let there be gratitude in your heart for everything that you do, for the simple meal that you get to enjoy later, waking up in the morning, having maybe a pillow, hopefully, to put your head on at night. The simple things. Thank God for the simple things, because he says, if I can clothe the birds of the sky and the flowers in the fields so radiant and beautifully, how much more will I take care of you? Don't let the circumstance of the moment dictate to you the reality of the love of the King in your life in this moment. He gave his very best. He withheld nothing. Last week or a week or two ago, I was hearing, we were talking, I think you were saying in the Wednesday night, that Jesus' victory was not just at the cross, but perhaps at the garden is when he had victory over sin. Wonderful perspective. But I believe that's a widening of perspective. Here's another perspective. I believe victory over sin was in a garden. But it was at the moment that the King, walking in the cool of the garden, after Adam and Eve fell, said this, "Adam, where are you?" At that moment, victory had already been established, because the King's heart had already determined nothing, nothing, no sin, no death, no failure, no shame. Nothing will keep me from Adam. Nothing will keep him from you. Not death, not sin. Because he, in that moment, the King says, "I have a plan. I will restore. I will reclaim that which has been forfeited. I will show you. I will be chasing after you." And that's what the whole word is right here. From in the beginning to the very end is a picture of the heart of God chasing after his beloved. You are his beloved. And that chase will never end. He's always chasing after the heart of the one he loves. Amen.
I almost hate to get up here and do this poem because we've had so many things discussed today and everything. But I had to, after I heard about the anxiety and stress that some people go through, because I know I go through it all the time, and I see it in some of my residents that I take care of. I say, stop worrying, stop stressing, because that generation just stressed all the time. I saw it in my mom and everything. But I wrote this morning. It's Trusting in the Storm. The disciples weathered a storm at sea, not knowing what to do, but their Savior soon showed, and with him a calm, for the winds with his word obeyed. So trust in the storm, hang on to the end, and remember it won't be long. Trust and grow strong, for to him we belong. Trust and you'll be okay. After the storm, there comes a calm on the vast and raging sea. But during the storm, we need to grow strong for our Savior to fully see. God uses the storm to draw us to him, to trust, obey, and pray. And while trusting, we're strengthened and truly blessed. So trust and hang on and cling to him, for God will have his way. After the storm, there comes a calm. The clouds will roll away. The rainbow will show, and hope will then grow as we read his word and pray. So when in a storm and tossed about, look to Jesus. He has your back. He uses the storm to draw us to him. Just hang on as the storm has his way. For Jesus is there amidst any storm. He's the peace in your heart today. Trust him. Have faith and grow strong. Soon it will be over. You'll be okay.
Sorry, Pastor. I was going to sit down after Tommy got up there. And as I was walking back to my chair, the Lord told me, "Don't you sit down. This is my time. I want to speak to the people." And he reminded me again about the story of the road to Emmaus. I know I'm not pronouncing that properly, but most of you probably know it that way. After Jesus had died, that the two distraught disciples were going to Emmaus. And Jesus showed up to them and started walking with them, and they didn't know who they were walking with. And they were talking about, "Are you the only stranger that does not know what happened?" And he continued to talk to them. He went all the way to Emmaus, and they invited him to come stay with him overnight. And they were thinking, did not our hearts burn within us when he was speaking to us? Who is this man? And he reveals himself to them and starts telling them all of the scriptures leading all the way to his death on the cross, the confirmations in the Old Testament, reminding them of who he really was. And the Bible says that Jesus is in us and he is with us. Those two men had Jesus with him that whole time. And he said, "I would have gone further. I would have walked further with you." And it reminds me of the verses where it says, you know, if somebody asks for your cloak, you know, and all those things, give him more. Well, Jesus will always give us more. And what we forget is he's in us and with us. And he wants you to know that he is walking with you all the time. He knows everything you're going through. Everything that's happening to you, every joy in your heart, and every sadness. But he's there for you continually and always. And he wants you to know, "I am with you and I am in you. Rely on me because I'm always there for you." Thank you.
There you go. Praise God. Glory to God. Oh, a lot going on this morning. So, you know, I'm not going to hold you too much longer here. I'm just going to give you about 2 hours worth of preaching. You guys ought to be good with that, and then we'll let you go home. And I said, "Oh no, everybody's going no." Hey, I just want to talk a little bit about what God, the Lord, was saying to me last night about the body of Christ being confident in who they are. How many say amen? God wants you confident. He wants you to know that he wants you confident no matter what you're going through. It's easy to be confident when everything's going good, right? But he wants you confident when things don't look so good, when things are bothering you. Is that okay? Hallelujah. And I was going to talk to you a little bit about David this morning. And how many of you know that David was confident in everything that he did? And I just want to kind of read this to you, if you will. Psalm chapter 27, verse 1 through 6. Can you put that up? So the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Amen. No fear. Don't be afraid of anybody. It says, this is David talking. He says, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should stand and encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Amen. Well, though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. In this will I be confident. God wants you confident. That I, the thing that I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Isn't that good? This is David. This is David talking about, and I was just thinking about David and who he was and his kind of his life, and if he was to make a resume of things that, because he eventually went into the land of Philistia to dwell there because Saul was after him, and so if he was making a Linda's calling. If he was making a resume about his life for King Achish, he would say something. Maybe, well, you know, guess what? I was born in Bethlehem. I'm a Bethlehemite. Jesse's my dad. Jesse. I'm a son of. I'm one of the sons of eight. I'm the youngest of eight. And he says, so basically my job was a shepherd. He was a shepherd. And somehow while he was being a shepherd, he was called to come home because a prophet had gone to his house and wanted to pray for him and anoint him to be the king of Israel. And after that, not much changed. Anointed to be king of Israel. His dad sent him to a battle that his brothers were at with the Israelites that were fighting against the Philistines. And his dad said, take these cheese and these parched corn, take them down to your brothers that they might have something and find out how the battle's going. So in his resume, he said, hey, I went to a battle to watch my to be with my brothers, and then while I was there, there was a giant, and he began to ridicule the armies of Israel, and nobody was doing anything. But this young man was a young man anointed by God to do a certain job. How do you say amen to that? He was going to be king. Is that right? Didn't feel much like a king, but he's watching the king and everybody shake every time that giant went out. So he goes, wow, what's going on here, man? Don't you guys get it? God is, hey, you're the armies of God. You can't figure this out? So he said, hey, I'll fight this guy. So in his resume, he read, hey, I fought a giant, defeated him, cut off his head. I tell you, folks, David was confident. How many say amen? He was confident, young man. Amen. He told Saul, you know what? I watched my dad's sheep. Ever since I was little, I've watched the sheep. And a lion came in. I grabbed him by his mane and cut his. A bear came in, had a sheep in his, one of the sheep in his mouth, and I took it out of his mouth. And this giant, he ain't nothing. Amen. David was pretty confident. Amen. He was on his way to be king, but I would say that something changed in his life. He began. When he killed the giant, the king decided, hey, I want that guy. He showed how, he knows how to fight. Can I tell you, he was a young man. Amen? I believe he was a teenager. That's why when you look at these young people that are up here, come on, man. They're going to do things that we've never seen before. I believe it. I've believed it ever since. I believe that the younger generation today is going to show the world how the kingdom of God works. This is what God does. This is just who he is. Yeah. Oh, man. Interruption, hold on. Lord, this is what the Lord says. Because you were just, I was just thinking about the, what do we call it? The shop. So you're the house of prayer. And the Lord said, remind them, Henry. This is what he said. The vision is yet for an appointed time. And though it tarry, wait for it. For it will surely come to pass. That same word was over this house when we first moved into it. God said, I'm going to give you this house. Yet the vision is yet for an appointed time. He's given us the house, and the house is now belongs to the kingdom of God. I mean, amen. We have taken what was in a disintegrating mode, if you will, because spiritually, not so much physically, but in a little physically, you'll see it leaks and stuff, whatever. But spiritually, this place housed some things that were not good. It was desolate. It was cut off from God, but God is saying, hey, I'm going to restore it. And he did restore it. So the vision was yet for an appointed time. It's now. It's still happening. God is still doing what he wants to do. And God has spoken some things, has given some dreams to some folks. By two or three witnesses, everything will be established, what God's word said. Is that right? Micaiah had a dream. Tommy had a dream. My daughter had a dream about that theater over there. So when you guys go by, just put your hand towards it. Say, hey, Madden, the vision is yet for an appointed time, though it tarry. I'm waiting for it. Amen. We're going to see these things. I believe it's going to be an incredible place. Amen. Come on, man. You got to get a little excited about that, but I'm excited about it. But anyway, David was confident. But then all of a sudden, things began to change. Isn't that right? Things began to happen to him. The king got jealous. Because the ladies, the girls, were saying, hey, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. What? Saul wouldn't be happy about that. He goes, what? They're ascribing him more glory than me, and I'm the king. Can I tell you, sometimes being in a position like that could get to your head. Can I say that to you? Hallelujah. I wonder if that's why God's been slapping me down every chance he gets. I'm just kidding. He takes care of me. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want to do anything but serve God. That's my heart. My heart is to serve God. God, I will do whatever you want me to do. Pastor of church, I don't think so. Praise God, but here we are. Amen. Praise God. Things got ugly. Saul threw a spear at him. David on his resume says, hey, the king threw a spear at me. How's that on your resume? Wait, what'd you do wrong, man? I left. He left. And he's now on the run. He's running. And he comes to this. He somehow God places men around him because David is a leader. He really is. He is a king. Even though you might not understand where he's at, he's a king. Amen. Folks, can I tell you, you're kings. The king of glory dwells in you. You might say, well, I'm a girl. Yeah, well, it makes me a queen. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit that dwells in you makes you a king. Is that okay? You can decree and declare things over your lives. Well, anyway, so he's running. David is, I wonder if David had these thoughts, man. Hey, what? What is going on, God? He's got 300 guys following him. Here's that Saul is out looking for him. And so they go and they hide in this cave. And while they're in the cave, Saul shows up, has to go to the restroom, goes in the restroom. And while he's in there doing his business, David's men coax him to, hey, here he is, kill him. So David goes over and instead of killing him, he cuts a little piece off of his robe. And when King Saul gets up to leave out of the cave, he's on his way out, David begins to call out to him. The Holy Spirit smote his heart. How many of you ever had the Holy Spirit get a hold of your heart? Say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Say something to my wife. Oh, Lord, I'm just tell her, just go to her now. Okay. But David follows him out and he does something you never do in front of an enemy. He humbled himself and he put his face to the ground, didn't even look at Saul. And he says, why are you chasing me? I've never intended any kind of harm to you. Why would you chase me? In that cave, I could have killed you because to you, I'm an enemy, but I'm not an enemy to you, O King. You are the anointed of God. How can I even do anything to you? Saul broke. It broke him, amen? Rather than, boy, get him, boys. There he is. He says, man, you're right. I'm wrong. And he told David, I know that you will run the kingdom. You will rule this kingdom. Just because of who you are, the way you operate, the way you act. Your attitude, like Josh said this morning, amen. Your attitude. So Saul leaves. But you know, Saul's being troubled by a spirit. How many say amen? The word of God says that an evil spirit from God was troubling him. So Saul went after him again. And this time he's out in a field. And David's looking at him and he sees him out there in his field. And he says, oh, man, he goes, who will go with me to the camp? And Abishai, he tells him, hey, man, you know, I'll go with you. So come on, let's go. And it's dark. It's night. They go in there and everybody's asleep. And while they're sleeping, you guys all know this story, but there's a reason why God's got me talking to you about it. As they go in, they find Saul and his spear's next to him and he's got a pillow. And Abishai says, hey, let me kill him. One stroke. Put him out, man. I'll put him away. And David said, no, we cannot touch the Lord's anointed. Can I tell you that everyone around you, I mean, that are of the kingdom of God because of Christ dwelling in them, they're anointed. I mean, you say amen to that. So you can't say nothing, can't do anything. Just say, hey, praise God. Amen. You can talk about folks. You want to go ahead and talk about your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Tell somebody how you don't think they're worth much or whatever. And I'll tell you what, that's a good way to get on the bad side of God pretty quick. Because God says they're in the anointed. They've got an anointing on them. His name is Jesus. He dwells within them. Amen. We can't do that with anybody. People try to get you to look at certain things and say, look, if these people are doing wrong, say, you know what? That's up to them and God, man. Leave me out of this, man. Don't do it. Amen. Because God is desiring to build a body of Christ to where we're in unity. A lot of you don't know about this house is under a couple of visions from the Lord that God gave me. One is about the flowing water, but the other one is about a hub being on the ground. And I didn't know what the hub meant, but it ended up having five spokes. And I found out from the Lord that those five spokes were the fivefold ministry, your apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. The five spokes and the outside rim of this wheel that's on the ground. I'm going to have one of the ladies paint it so they can put it on that rim. It says these apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, these guys are to build the body of Christ till they all become the full manifestation of Jesus. Bringing a unity, which is the wheel rim, is the unity. That's the vision this house is under. God says, I will send them and I will send them out. I'll send them in, I'll send them out. That's why I don't get too excited about when people come in and then they feel like they're going to be really good and all of a sudden God sends them out. I don't get too excited about it. Not excited about it at all, but I don't get too worried about it. Ain't that right, Pastor? Because we believe God. We know what he's doing. He already told us, I'm going to send them in, I'm going to send them out. The house is under a couple of visions. But in these visions, folks, we have to be confident. We must be confident that God is with us. And how many say amen? Can I tell you how many times your confidence might be shaken? You get a little sick on something. Your body begins to react abnormally. You know what? Hold on to your confidence. Hold on to the fact of the matter that God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. By my stripes, you have been healed. Hold on to these things. Hold on to them. Hold on, because God says, I will show you. You will not be ashamed for believing in who I am. Never. Amen. Can I tell you, I remember when my brother was in the hospital and they took us into this meeting and they said, well, Mr. Ayala, and he told all my family, he said, look, there's really no more we can do for him. I said, we're believers. We believe in God. And we know that God can heal them. Well, it's a little further along than what. And you know, I could see in the doctor's eyes as they were looking at each other, they were kind of like, it almost felt like a real big push against us saying, you don't know what you're talking about. And yeah, you know, and how many ever sensed that? How many ever sensed whenever the doctors are telling you something and you say something, well, you know what? I'm blessed. God is on my side. And they say, yeah, well, whatever. But then they tell you some more. They'll give you their interpretation of what's going on in your life. Sometimes it almost feels almost like you don't want to say anything else. Is that right? But you know what? I would say to you, be confident. Be confident in who you are and what God said to you. Be confident in those things, because the fact of the matter is, his way is truth. It doesn't go by facts. It goes by truth. Jesus is the truth. Amen. So Abishai and David are in this camp, and he says, no, we're not going to destroy him. They go to the side. They go back to a high point. They take his spear and his bolster. It's a pillow. How do you know a pillow? Somebody, Tommy was talking about be happy with just what you got. I don't know about you guys, but my pillow is this big, this tall, and about, it's a little bitty thing. And I'll tell you, and it says Merry Christmas on it. I don't have a big pillow as like most folks. I got this little tiny pillow. It's about like that. And it, man, I sleep wonderful on it. It is the best pillow I've had in all my life. It's crazy. And boy, I'm thankful for my pillow. But he takes Saul's pillow and he takes it over there and he yells, Abner! He's yelling for the, Abner, you need to protect your king. Somebody came in today and wanted to destroy your king. You've got a problem, my friend. Amen. You ought to die for that. Oh boy. Saul wakes up. David, is that you, my son? He says, yes, sir. It's me. Somebody wanted to kill you, but I wouldn't let him. Because I honor you. My attitude towards you is good and not bad. No matter what you've done to me, it doesn't matter. I don't operate by the way you treat me. How many say amen to that? You can't operate, folks. You can't operate the way people treat you. You got to say, hey, I'll operate the way God wants me to operate. So I want to put this up. Saul says, I'm sorry, David. I'm sorry for even trying to do this to you. So here's 1 Samuel chapter 26, verses 20 through 25. Says, now therefore, let not my blood, this is David speaking. He says, let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord. For the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea once again. His attitude is not high, it's not haughty. You've come out to seek a flea as when one does hunt a partridge in the mountains. Then said Saul, I've sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm. Because my soul was precious in your eyes this day, behold, I have played the fool. This is a conversation being yelled that back. I have played the fool, and you have, and have erred exceedingly, is what Saul said. And David answered and said, listen to what David says. Behold, the king's spear, let one of the young men come and fetch it. The Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered you into my hand today, but I would not stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. Behold, as thy life was much set by this day in my eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of Saul. Does it say that? It doesn't say that, does it? David's prophesying. He said, as my life, as your life was set much set by me, I honored your life. He says, let my life be set by or honored by the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Amen. Then Saul said to David, blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and thou shalt still prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. Now here's what David said right after that, because David knows Saul, and he knows what's happening. He understands the Lord has given him an understanding of what's going on. This is what David says. He says, now, next verse. David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me and to seek me anymore in any coast of Israel, and so shall I escape out of his hand. So David left, and he went to the Philistines. David went to a place, he went to the king of the Philistines. His name was Achish. And Achish somehow liked David. He says, man, this is a guy, I like this guy. So David asks him, he says, hey, man, you know what? If I'm pleasing in your sight, why don't you give me and my men a place to stay? And so King Achish says, you know what, David? I'm going to give you Ziklag. He gave him a city called Ziklag. And there came a day when Philistines went to fight against Israel. And while they were getting ready to go, the Philistines, the generals said, man, we don't want him to go. What better way would he be able to show him his commitment to Israel by us getting in a battle and him wiping us out rather than him fighting with us? So they told David, they told King Achish, we don't want David to go with us. He needs to stay home. He can go other battles, but not this battle. How many know? How many believe this was God's hand? I believe it was God's hand. So King Achish said, told him, man, I know you. I know you're true. I know you're good to me and everything. So, but you can't go. So David gets mad. I want to help you. No, you can't go. King, my honor's to you. No, you can't go. You're going against Israel. Can't go. I believe that was the Lord. So he doesn't go. Those guys go to fight the battle. Guess what? David and his men go home to Ziklag, and his house and everything has been burned, and all their children, all their kids, everything they have has gone. What? If things haven't gotten bad, it's gotten bad now. Because now the Bible says that the men of David's men, we want to stone you. You know what? It's David's fault. Let's stone him. Let's get it over with. The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen? He knew where to go. So when he was encouraged himself in the Lord. Can I tell you, have you ever had something go wrong where you had to, Lord, I'm going to praise you anyway. Have you ever had that? This was before anybody was filled with the Spirit. David had the Spirit upon him, but wasn't filled with the Spirit. So when David went before the Lord, he worshiped the Lord like he knew how to do. David knew how to worship the Lord. And David asked the Lord, Lord, should I chase after this bunch? And he said, go after him. And you will recover everything. David took off, him and his men, and the Bible says that they recovered everything. You guys remember that story, right? Here's the thing about David. He trusted God. He was confident that God would lead him into those places. Can I say this to you? I believe God kept him out of the battle with Israel for a reason. Because that battle that the Philistines went to, that battle was the battle that they killed Saul. Saul and Jonathan, his son. David, I believe all my heart, God said, I'm going to put you over here out of the way because you're not even be close to what's going to happen with Israel. It wasn't not too long after David found out that Saul was what had been killed and Jonathan had been killed that David said to God, what do you want me to do? Should I go to Israel? And God told him, okay, now it's time to go. Go. He said, where do you want me to go? He said, well, go to Hebron. So he went to Hebron, and the men of Judah said, hey, there's David. Let's anoint him king now, right now. So the whole plan, the whole scenario was God working in David's life. And sometimes we forget that the Bible says that all things work together for good to those that love God. How many say amen to that? I believe that. I heard that quite a bit in some of the folks today. Here's what Peter says in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says this, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God, this is you, through sanctification of the Spirit, through obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ unto you. And peace be multiplied. Blessed be God the Father, and Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of the dead. And that's not the scripture I wanted. Did you guys get that? I believe it's 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory. Sometimes we forget that God has already given us all things that pertain to life. Is that okay? Let me just say this to you. I'm going to cut this. I'm going to clip this off because it's getting really late and I can see everybody's kind of falling asleep, man. So I'm going to do that. But let me just say this to you. Sometimes you're going to hear me say things that maybe you don't agree with. Is that okay? How many say, Matt, is it okay to not agree with somebody? But you still got to love me, right? But I would tell you, if I say something to you, please, you don't agree with it, go look at it. Take it and look at it because I believe God has placed me here to speak certain things to you. I know that people are get a little weird when I talk to them about what God has taught me about death. But I will tell you something. God took me to death's door to where the enemy was saying to me, he said, hey, man, I'm going to destroy you. You're a dead man. And folks, I didn't say it. I felt it coming up within me. But the Holy Spirit said, he said this, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm already dead. But it's not me, it's Christ that dwells in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. That was his testimony speaking to an enemy that was trying to take me during COVID. And I got all fired up. I said, yeah, God, it didn't come to my mind. It came out of me. Does that make sense to you? Some of you don't. Yeah, what? It just rolled out. It was waters of life popping out in the middle of this thing going on. And God was showing me, I'm telling you, Henry, you died. You died. Some people will, you know, hey, some people will say something like, well, I want to go when I'm asleep. How many say amen to that? It's easy. Hey, let's go when we're asleep. I'm going to tell you something. Don't let death crawl up into your bed with you. You are alive. You are more than alive. You are abundantly alive by the glory of God that's within you. Do not lay yourself down and say, hey, man, I'm going to go now. I'm ready to go. No, you can't do that. Don't do that. Uh-uh. Can I tell you something? God wants to use the body of Christ in the world today, every one of us. But you got to have an understanding that he is placing his mind in you. That's why when I say something to you, look at it. Don't just say, I don't agree with everything he says, but I mean, whatever. I mean, but hey, you better be looking at things, because if God is speaking it to the body of Christ, doesn't it make sense that you look at it? Because like we said, God is doing something different. Can I tell you that all of you have the dew of your youth upon you? How many say amen? Look at your neighbor and say, you got the dew of your youth upon me. See, I'm gonna wake you up. Stand up just a minute. Let's all stand. Look at look at somebody that's next to you. If you see somebody that's by themselves, walk over there and tell them, you have the dew of your youth upon you. How many of you remember when you were young? How many of you remember when you were young? How many of you remember that? Yeah, hallelujah. I was talking to a brother I'm going to give him a commercial. Is that okay? I was talking to a brother, you know, down in the Green Valley Mall, there's a little mattress shop down there. You guys ever seen that? It's next to a little restaurant. It's by Ace Hardware. Anybody ever seen that? That guy's a brother, and he loves the Lord. And I went there, I'm talking to him, man. I said, man, I can tell by the way you talk, you love the Lord. He goes, oh, man, he lit up like a light bulb. Once I said that, he goes, you know the Lord? I said, I do. I don't know how old this guy, I don't know how old he is. He might look like he's like around my age, around 36. Man, why you laugh? But he's an older feller. He said the Lord told him to get involved with this weight stuff. How many like doing weights? I asked you that last week, remember? Yeah, your body says, nah, no. Yeah, but the Bible says that exercise profits little. Is that right? You know what the Word of God says? But righteousness is profitable in all things. So if God tells you to exercise, I'm going to tell you, do it with all your heart, man, before God. Because watch, he's profiting you. Is that all right? Well, this guy, he says, God told me to start lifting weights and start working out. He says, because I used to do it when I was younger. He got second place in something in California of these over 60. Second place. And he said, he's looking at the guy at first place. He said, if God would have let me know a little earlier, I would have beat the guy. Hallelujah. He says, because but his name is Chris. If you guys get a chance, go by and visit him. He loves the Lord. And he'll tell you some things. I said to him, the Lord told me not to take offerings from the people. That if people understand the economy of the kingdom, they'll find the box. How many say amen? The economy of the kingdom. I told him that the Lord told me, hey, don't corral my people. God said that to me, folks. God said, don't corral them. Don't put a restraint on them. Say, if they want to go, let them go. If they want to stay, let them stay. But don't get involved. I will bring them and I will send them out. So don't worry about it. And that's where these are a couple of things that this house is operating under. We've got to be confident. I am confident, folks, that those of you who God has called here, you're going to see something that you've never seen before. I'm confident that this house is going to overflow. I'm confident that there are probably two or three services on Sunday out of this house. I'm confident that these walls are going to go down and there's going to be a huge worship center back there. I'm confident that children are going to be taught here. I'm confident that God is going to take the kids and send them out, you know, like a mighty man with a bow and arrow. Boom, he fires them out into the earth, and where it lands, it's up to him. It's up to God. I'm confident in these things. Because God does not play with us. He does not lie. We are in a time when God is saying the body of Christ is going to show the world the glory of God. God said, my glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And we're going to see it, folks. He's not trying to take anybody home. That's not your home. New Jerusalem's your home. It's in heaven. But that Jerusalem's coming here. Home is going to be on the earth. The earth was given to man. He's given it to us to subdue, take dominion over. And God, hey, begin to use your mouth. Begin to prophesy over the things that you see. Amen. The enemy can't overrun us. Light can't be overrun by darkness. How many say amen? How many of you have gone into a dark room and have shut your flashlight off? Does anybody do that? Take a candle in a dark room. Does that darkness blow the candle out? It doesn't. Light cannot be overcome by darkness. It might look like it. How many say amen? It might look pretty dark out there, but the Word of God says that the gospel of Jesus Christ is getting brighter and brighter because of the people of God. Amen? Hallelujah. So, yeah, open your mouth. Yeah. Pull the fire alarm. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Give them a ring. Yeah, whatever. Give them a ring. Open your heart and allow God to pour through your heart to those that are around you. Is that okay? Yeah. Let him do it. Don't figure it out. You just let him do it. Be comfortable in what God is doing in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for what you're doing, God. We ask you, Lord, that you would touch and bless, Father God, each and every one that's in this house. Anyone that will hear this message over the internet, Father, we pray that you would touch their hearts. Lord, we pray that the kingdom of God, Father God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that your kingdom, Father God, out of that kingdom, the glory of God would overtake the earth, Father. We thank you for it and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Be confident in the things that God has told you. Be confident. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go on. Hey, man, hit the city, hit the streets, man. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.